Ante Up is your poker magazine dedicated to the everyday player and their poker rooms. Pick up a free copy at your favorite poker room nationwide each month. But Ante Up is much more than a magazine. Visit anteupmagazine.com daily for breaking news and each week download our award-winning poker cast. Join us on our action-packed poker cruises to exotic destinations and find special deals on Ante Up gear and great poker products at anteupstore.com. Ante Up. It's your poker magazine.
From the WDAE Sports Animal Studios in Tampa, Florida, it's the Ante Up PokerCast. And now here are two guys who think they know how to play poker, Chris Cosenza and Scott Long.
It's May 4th, 2012. You're listening to the best poker cast on the internet and on Highway 75. I'm Chris Cosenza.
And I'm Scott Long.
We're taking a little bit of a detour, if you will, from our normal recording situation. We are in the car driving to the airport after our live stream was very successful last night at Choctaw Resort and Casino. We don't want to distract Scott too much because the last time we were on this road, we actually saw a fatality. And I believe we are on borrowed time right now, I believe. So we're going to make this one of those shortest shows because we're on the road, but we didn't want to disappoint anybody and not have an episode and break the streak. So things are going well, but for some reason, they could have gone a little better if we'd found a barbecue joint.
Oh, it's insane. You know, we get here in Texas, right? Land in Dallas. Home of the barbecue. Where else do you get barbecue? Of course, now I'm going to get letters from people in Kansas City and South Carolina. Right.
Especially Kansas
City. But no, when you come to Texas, let's rephrase this. When you come to Texas, you should get barbecue, right?
Yes.
I mean, they got more cows here than roads.
Well, I think pretty much every state has more cows than roads.
Right.
But yeah, you're right.
More cows than churches.
When we were driving, I was like, okay, let's count how many businesses are named Lone Star. And like we saw like four or five right away. We're like, oh my God, it's going to be hilarious. And this guy's like, oh, we know we're going to run into a bunch of barbecue places, so we're going to have some great barbecue. I'm like, okay. First thing he says is, hey, there's Asian food over there. You want to stop and get Asian food?
I was hungry.
I'm like, we're going to get Asian food in Texas? You're going to get barbecue. And of course, we never saw a barbecue joint the whole way to Oklahoma.
We were on the road 168 hours. More like 160 minutes. But still, you should not be anywhere in Texas on the road for longer than 5 minutes without a roadside barbecue stand.
I mean, isn't that like in their like state constitution or something? You should be able to see a barbecue joint in any direction you look at any point in this state. And we could not find one. And of course, now we're leaving to go home.
In Oklahoma, by the way,
and we take a quick little right out of the casino, and boom, there's Chuck's Barbecue. We couldn't find one. Even when we went out looking for one at lunch while we were in Oklahoma, we couldn't find one. Boom, there's Chuck's Barbecue right there. We didn't even see it. What, are we stupid or what?
Absolutely.
We literally did not have any barbecue while we were here.
Not one. And even the barbecue place in the casino, which I was salivating over all day, was closed.
Yeah, it was closed. So we ended up having, like, diner food and... what are the gift shop food or whatever it was? I mean,
a buffet.
They made the buffet. You know, it was a really good trip. I have to admit, I was a little nervous about it. You know, we had never done a live stream like this, and just as we were getting ready to go, a little sobering news. Before we were ready to go, we found out, of course, Amarillo Slim Preston had died this week on Sunday, age 83, died of cancer, and. No matter what you believe about Slim, no matter what you think about him, we really probably would not be doing what we're doing today if it wasn't for him, and you wouldn't be doing what you're doing poker-wise either. The man really brought it to, you know, the social conscience of everyone in the United States when he won the World Series in 72 and just ran with it on, you know, Johnny Carson and those big prop bets and Mike Douglas show. And he was on all the big shows back then. And when you only have three channels, Amarillo Slim's on two of them. You know, he's making poker for the masses. So really a sad loss in the poker world. I had a chance to meet him once. He wasn't the guy that everyone remembers from the old B-roll footage and stuff. But, you know, he was very gracious with his time and signed something for a lot of people when I was there waiting to talk to him. And just a really good guy. And, the poker world will miss his presence.
Yeah, I still remember the day he won that World Series. I was about a month old. And I rolled over and told mom, hey, Quit with the bottles. Turn on ESPN. I want to see the live stream of Slim.
But, you know, he was such a character, and he really really built up his brand, or whatever you want to call it, you know, the cowboy from, you know, Texas, and he, you know, he believed in Texas poker, and, you know, it's sad that he never actually got to see legal poker in his own state, you know,
right.
But very sad day. We talked a little bit about that on the live feed as well, and speaking of the live feed, I really thought it went really well. Given it was the first time we ever did it, too, and it really isn't a live feed. You made a good point this morning. It was a broadcast.
It was.
Considering the product that we put out and what we did and everything, I think it was a broadcast. It wasn't a live feed.
And, we got to start and end by thanking our good friend Kirk Fallow, Fallow Productions, who's done all of our TV productions for us in the past. You know, I'm not quoting Lou Ferrigno from Celebrity Apprentice, but he gives 110% every time he's out. And, you know, we kind of left all that up to him because obviously that was his job. We didn't want to get too involved in it. And I think he completely exceeded my expectations of what he was going to bring to this.
100%, absolutely correct. Every time I saw him when we were there, whether we were doing the production or just seeing him, like, in the casino getting something to drink or whatever, I stopped him. I just said, you know, Kirk, it's remarkable. I really had no idea what to expect when we did this. And when you think of a live feed, you think of a camera over the top of the table and some guy walking around with a handheld and nothing else. And what we did was literally just like an ESPN production. We except for not knowing the cards, which we will remedy eventually.
Eventually, yeah.
You know, it was me and you calling the action, having some fun, telling stories to fill the time, and letting the action tell the story. But then he also did some great things. He did split screen, quad screens, which we had a little discussion about on the show. He had four screens, one on when it was three-handed. He had one on each player and one on the flop, right on the screen for you, so you could see everyone's reactions, what the flops were. We had commercials. We had fade-ins and fade-outs. We had B-roll footage. We had footage from earlier in the week. We had interviews. And that's all a testament to him and his hard work. And it was really just a lot of fun. And I think we are pioneers with this now. I mean, you know, ESPN's done on a grand scale, but they have billions of dollars. You know what I mean? We're doing it on a shoestring budget. And
we're here for the everyday players.
That's right. And that's what we're here for. So I thought it was really, really excellent. I really felt like it was a lot of fun. You and I had never done anything like that before. You know, we've done TV coverage and stuff. We sit there, you can write scripts at home. You can make a mistake and start it again, add emphasis. We just sat there and talked, and we called the action. And it's just like when you're watching on TV and you're saying to yourself what the flop is. Well, now you're saying to thousands and thousands of people. And it was really cool. I had a lot of fun with it. And I was really nervous. But now that we've done it, I'm very confident. I think that we can do a really bang-up job, and our next one's going to be even that much better.
Yeah, I think the funny thing for me is, because I know we were talking like 10 hours. This is going to be a long day.
Yeah,
how are we
going
to fill 10 hours? And I guess we'll never know right now, because we only had to fill six, thanks to the very aggressive play from our final table. But I got done, and I wanted to do another one right away.
Yeah, I was like, as we were doing it, I thought to myself, you know what, if this goes past 10 hours, I'm going to stay and do it. If they want to stay, if you know, the crew wants to stay and do it, I'm going to keep doing it, because this really is going well. And you and I had come up with this laundry list of topics to talk about, because we were afraid it was just going to be nothing to talk about. But when the mic could pick up everybody at the table, and luckily we had a very talkative player at the table.
Yeah, Dr. Andy Filichak,
he was really entertaining and talked a lot, so he helped fill a little bit of that. But you didn't have that pressure of having to fill dead air, because you could hear them talking and clicking and being in the moment, so... I just felt like now that we've done one, we can really do another one and a bunch more and fill it easily. I'm much more comfortable now with it. Some of the fun stuff, too, is we're like, all right, we're kind of close to the table. Chris has got a big voice. He's real obnoxious. Let's have the whisper voice, you know.
Golf voices.
The golf voice, like, you know, Nance from CBS, you know. And I'm like... all right, I'll whisper. So I never actually got my normal voice back. Once I got it into whisper mode, people were texting us and tweeting and saying, is Chris falling asleep? And it's true. I mean, I don't normally talk like that. I'm normally loud like I am now. But that's one of the things we'll probably remedy in the next one. We'll make sure we're further away so Scott and I can have a regular conversation. And then if we do speculate on hands and situations or whatever, then we kind of maybe bring it down a notch. But other than that, I mean, it was just really a nice setup. We were nice and close. We had the cool headsets. The camera was on us every once in a while.
No one really liked that.
And no one really liked to see us, so we only kept it on for a couple of seconds, just to remind them that we really were there.
What we're going
to
do is we're going to hire some supermodels. They say, hey, I'm Chris, I'm Scott.
And they show the supermodels.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, that'll come off really well. One of the things that was really cool was the presence of Twitter. Right. I had my iPad open, and people were tweeting us questions, and we were answering them as soon as we could on the show, and they were actually providing some good feedback, too, that we could adjust during the show. You know, they're like, hey, we'd really like a chip count right now, and then sure enough, it's all right, well, let's get our assistant on it, and somebody go out there and count the chips for us, and we'd get it for them, and it's just a really cool interactive thing. I think even you can interact on Ustream, too. There's a chat thing on there. I think once we grow, we may even have somebody there, you know, manning the chat box of the Ustream or whatever we can use. But that was really cool. See, and even Facebook, too, right? There are people commenting on Facebook and stuff. So really want to thank everybody, too, who posted it on their blogs or their websites, and for those who watched and helped make the broadcast that much better. You know, we had Gambit and Chicago Joe and a lot of our followers, and it was really a bang-up job by them, too, to really, you know, because it's a Monday. You know, the numbers we got, we were really happy with. It's a Monday afternoon. Who's going to be able to watch it, really? And we got a lot. We got over 3,000 viewers. So, I mean, that, to me, that's pretty huge.
Yeah, I thought one of the funny things, considering that, I was on the Facebook feed, and Nuance, our from Canada, was trying to watch it at work, and he has a gambling blocker at work. And I couldn't watch it on NEFmagazine.com, couldn't figure it out. And then my wife popped in there, like, gave him the Ustream, the actual direct Ustream feed, so he could watch that, and that wasn't blocked, so I think he got to see it. But it's all the impressiveness of social networking. Stuff spreads quickly, people can help each other out, and had they needed us to hop in there and try to explain it to them, I don't think we could have, because we're just busy doing what we were doing. So, and we didn't get a lot of breaks.
And we got, you know, the Twitter alone, our followers, we picked up another 20-something followers just by being here doing this, because everyone was retweeting it for us and spreading it, and it spread like wildfire. We were on Poker News, we were everywhere, and it really is a great way to capture a bigger audience. And so let's talk a little bit about the tournament, Chad Brown's Poker Challenge, with the main event. That's what we were there for. He was in town. We saw him playing. We saw him get knocked out. Pocket sixes versus pocket eights, and other big names there. Gavin Smith, our buddy Gavin Smith, chatted with him a little bit. Lane Flack was there, inebriated. he was really drunk. Pretty funny, but they pretty much expect that when you see Lane Flack playing in one of these smaller outside events. And then we saw also Dennis Phillips. We believe Dennis Phillips was the money bubble too, which gotta suck there. But
it always does.
So at the end of the tournament, we saw Chad Brown again. He came back and he said, Chris, did you lose weight? And I'm like, thanks for noticing, buddy. Yeah, I did. You're my model. He gave me the old fist bump, you know. So that was kind of cool. But, you know, it came down to the final nine. All very good players for the most part. Most of them were I can't remember if they were all professionals, but pretty much all of them had pretty good cash.
Well, all but one of them had a Hendon Mom page.
Yep. So they're all really good.
That player was really good, too, I thought. So I'm just wondering whether...
Maybe he just played cash.
He had an Asian name. Maybe he just got lost in the Hendon Mom.
Yeah, that can happen, too. Yep.
But he was a real good player as well. But, yeah, I mean, 8 out of 9 had Hendon Mom pages. And even the ones that... the ones with the fewest cash still had 3 or 4. That's that's 3 or 4 more than I have. 2 or 3 more than you have.
You know, the final three players were the same final, the top three point chip leaders, whatever, going into the table. So really, the cream rises to the top when you're watching these things, and they ended up holding on. And I have to say, for those of you who didn't watch, we had three guys at the end, and there were two massive chip leaders. And when they got it all in, it was like, it reminded me of the November 9 in 2009. I don't know if you know, remember this, but Jonathan Duhamel and Joseph Chong were overwhelming chip leaders when it was three-handed with our buddy John Raisner in third. And Joseph Chong got unhinged and thought he can get Duhamel off his big hand and got it all in with like A7. And Duhamel had queens, I think it was, if I remember correctly. And Duhamel's hand hood stood up. He had a massive chip lead. And John Raisner was given a gift of like $3 million because of that. The same kind of thing happened here with our final thing. Seneca Beasley, right? Seneca Easley, I mean, from Fort Worth. He was the chip leader coming into the final table. But he was a short stack when it was three-handed. And the other two guys, Nia and AP, those guys were massive chip leaders. And Nia got it in with A7, and he was dominated. And all of a sudden, there you go, AP's got this massive stack, and literally easily jumped out of his... He almost jumped out of his seat without even using his legs. I mean, he was given a gift of, like, like another $30,000 or something like that, just because this one guy got online. And it was very reminiscent of that, and we were very happy because, you know, we knew the final table was going to end rather quickly, because, you know, it is a long day. It's a long trip for us. For those who don't know, I was up like 40-some hours straight without sleep because I was so nervous about picking Scott up at 4 in the morning, and I usually go to bed at 2, and I just couldn't sleep. So I was pretty exhausted on this trip, and I was happy to see the final table go 6 hours. But, you know, I did have that adrenaline. I did have that second win, so I would have gone longer if I needed to. But it was nice to have it go at a decent pace and end at a decent time.
Yeah, I got to say, too, you mentioned if you folks that missed it, there's no reason to miss it because just go to anyupmagazine.com, and we have the rebroadcast as posted there, and you can watch it at your leisure, pause, and, you know, go take a wee-wee, come back and finish it whenever you want. So go check that out. It's on the homepage right now, but depending on how long it takes you to listen to this, it might be under the news section. Definitely under the Andy Up news section.
The winner was AJ Pahurat.
AP.
AP, I'm sorry, I said AJ.
That is some advanced placement course jokes.
Did I say AP? Oh, yeah, I said AJ. AP Pahurat, and great kid. He had finished second in, like, three circuit events.
Yeah.
And throughout the whole final table, he was joking, having a good time, and he was basically saying, you know, oh, my God, I can't finish second again. I can't finish second again. And sure enough, he didn't. And good kid, good head and shoulders. Won $116,000 for the event. Very, very nice, you know, mature beyond his age. And, you know, I think his Twitter name was Legit AP47. So we were seeing some of that, too. People following us because of that. They saw that in our feeds and stuff. So,
well, yeah, and mention you talked about how awesome Twitter was for us on our side. But, I mean, almost everybody at that table.
Yeah, they almost all had Twitter.
Well, it was
handles.
Tweeting during the whole tournament, which is kind of a little jarring, I guess, for traditionalists, I guess. But what I thought was interesting was he was getting text messages from his friends throughout it, you know, wishing him good luck. And at some point he said he couldn't even keep up with them. So many. And that's kind of cool when people can sit at home wherever they live, anywhere in the world, and be able to watch a friend play poker. Is pretty cool.
And some of the guys, when they filled out their bio sheets, were making funny comments on the bio sheets, so we remarked about them on the live feed, and then they would get the backlash from their friends and everything, saying, oh, you know what they're saying about you on the live feed, buddy, you better, you know. So you gotta be careful if it's out there in this world. Somebody knows about it, so you gotta be careful what you write when you want people to know about you. It was kind of fun. But anyway, overall, it was a great experience as far as doing the feed and just watching the table go down to the final three and then finish up heads up. And it was funny. We were surprised Chad Brown didn't actually make it to the final table, because every time we do an event with him, he does make the final table.
Yeah.
It wasn't just all about the feed, though. I mean, we did get to see WinStar. And we found out why it's called WinStar World.
Yep.
Very cool. It's basically just the facade of the place is like every, you know, few hundred feet is a new facade front. So you got like the Colosseum from Rome, and, you know, you've got like Shanghai, and you got all these different places out there. Kind of reminded me a little bit of Sam's Town. The way Sam's Town is with their home, with their little village or whatever you want to call it, old time. But and then inside's the same way. As you're walking through the casino, you're walking through different parts of the world, kind of like an Epcot thing or something. And we got to see their room, massive room, very busy for a Sunday morning.
Yeah.
Very busy.
A good variety of games going, too.
Yep, a good variety of games. So we saw them, and then, of course, we went on to Choctaw, which is where we stayed. The shower in our room in Choctaw was bigger than Scott said than his first apartment, and he stole my joke. But it was funny. You get in the shower, and in the shower stall, it's like on one end is the shower head, and on the other side is the controllers to make it warm or cold. So if you wanted to make it warmer, you had to walk all the way across the shower, make it colder, and then come all the way back. And it was like, you know, I just make it a little smaller. I mean, it's great to have a big shower, but let's make it a little bit smaller. So that was kind of funny. You know, your butt gets cold when you're taking a shower in a big stall like that, you know. We did see the poker room. The poker room at Choctaw was very cozy. And when I mean cozy, I mean like a warm kind of environment, not small. It's a big poker room.
30 table room.
30 tables. Very nice, warm colors that you expect, like in Oklahoma, browns. And the dealers were good. I had no problems with dealers when I played. I played 1-2 no limit. That was kind of limiting. There wasn't a variety of games there, really. There was 1-2 no limit. That was about it. They had a 4-8 Omaha 8 game going while Scott was trying to soak in the spa or whatever. And I was going to text him, but I was like, nice coming up. So next thing you know, the game broke. So if Scott was there, it may not have broken. I don't know. They may have said, oh, here's a sucker. We'll stick around.
I'm sure they would.
But that didn't happen. So really, it was all no limit. And I ended up doing well. I won $70 on a queen's full hand when a guy had three sixes. So that was nice. That really got in my stack. And then I just was pretty tight the rest of the week. I was pretty tired. But, you know, you sit there and you call poker for 6 hours. You start jonesing for a few hands,
yeah,
you know.
Absolutely.
So I immediately went right up there and played a few rounds and had a good time. And Scott won money, too. But, again, it wasn't at poker.
Yeah, I didn't feel like playing no limit at all. And, like I said, I was out the gorgeous pool area at Choctaw, by the way.
Yes.
I was out hanging out there, and I got my towel, and I was walking through, and they have a little sound system that goes throughout the whole pool area, and they started playing Danger Zone.
Oh, Kenny Loggins,
and I'm like, awesome! So, the voyeur is so long, it takes you a while to get through, and then all of a sudden they started playing, like, one of the themes from Top Gun, and I'm like... So they got the Top Gun soundtrack queued up, and then I turned the corner, and there's a huge screen, movie screen, out by the pool, and they were playing Top Gun. The movie just started. And I'm like, life can't get any better. I'm soaking here in the hot tub, watching Top Gun. And then, unfortunately, I just didn't have a good sight line, so I decided to come in, and then at that point, I just didn't feel like playing 1-2, and... But, you know, I love playing craps, and I'd rather actually lose money at craps than I would at 1-2 no limit. But here in Oklahoma, and some other places too.
Like California.
Yeah, here they can't use dice.
Yeah, it's so weird.
Craps, and they can't use the ball in the roulette either. But yeah, I mean, they can deal card games, any kind of card game that you can come up with cards. So again, you know, when you're talking gaming, people were geniuses, and they found a way where they actually deal out the cards and craps. Everything else is the same, all the betting lines and everything's the same, but just the big fat croupier that sits behind the thing, instead of just pointing his finger at reminding people to pay off bets, he actually deals out a string of cards and picks two of them, and that's those are the dies.
Yeah, you know, you shouldn't call them fat. I think they prefer to be called gravitationally challenged.
Gravitationally challenged, all right. But, you know, it's weird. I've never seen a box man
that small
that hasn't enjoyed the buffet. So I decided to sit down to play, and there is one difference. I put my money on the pass line, and the stick man, even though there's no stick, obviously, is like, oh, you're on the pass line? I'm like, yeah. He's like, I need a dollar ante from you. I'm like, a dollar ante? So I anteed a dollar, and then I'm like, this is not cool. And when you're the shooter, they give you a little puck, like the dealer button that says shooter on it.
Oh, yeah.
And so then the guy was like, you know, rocking his hands like he's getting ready to roll the dice, even though he had nothing in it, and let it go with a number. He's like, two. And so you apparently have to bark a number at the croupier so she knows what card to start turning over, I guess. I still don't know how it works. And so he busted, he crapped out, and it came to me, and I'm like, there's no way I'm getting involved in this. So I passed the shoe because I'm like, I'm not going to embarrass myself. I don't even know what's going on with this Annie's.
Yeah.
So then I figured out I could just skip the pass line and bet on the come line and skip the whole Annie. So it's really weird how how things work here. But I ended up winning $86, and I had a little bad day at the office, and had a good time.
Yeah, I think the overall trip was really, even though it wasn't exactly what we thought it was going to be, ended up being better than we thought it was going to be. So I was happy with it, and glad to be going home. But you're not going home, buddy. You're heading out to California.
Yeah, we're on the way to the airport now. And by the way, in our Mustang, we got...
We got upgraded.
A bunch of takes care of Annie up. We appreciate that. But no, we're headed to the airport now. Just going to fly home and, relax for a week, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Pretend like he's working.
Yep.
So I can't lord over him. And I'm getting on the jet and going out to Los Angeles, and look forward to seeing our great ambassador and longtime listener, Dave Palm.
Yep.
And hit a couple rooms there and do a little business, and then flying up to Sacramento and hitting some rooms at our Reno, and then I'll be home next week. So
hopefully Scott's going to secure a few more of these live feeds for us out there, and we'll be heading to California doing them too. So we're really pushing this thing hard. We're really excited. We got some big news coming pretty soon too to announce, and we'll be doing that relatively soon. Sorry for the abbreviated show today. No hands of the week. We're just going to get to the airport, get home safely, and then we'll come back to you with a full show next time. I'm Chris Cosenza.
And I'm Scott Long.
We'll see you at the tables.
Annie Up is a production of AnnieUpMagazine.com and is recorded at WDAE 620 AM in Tampa. Contact us at podcast@AnnieUpMagazine.com or call our hotline at 813-448-1120. If you'd like to advertise, send us an email at advertising@AnnieUpMagazine.com or call 727-331-4335. Some music used in this episode comes courtesy of the PodSafe Music Network.
What's the date?
Let's see, May 2nd is today.
So today's May 1st, right?
Our 1st, yeah, 1st, 2nd.
So 2nd would be Wednesday, 3rd, 4th, so May 4th, right? There we go.